Well, if you would open with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, as we continue to make our way through the Ten Commandments, coming tonight to the fourth commandment. We'll begin reading in verse 8 and we'll read through verse 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner which is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for your Sabbath day, and we thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to discuss it. We pray that you would be with us as we talk about this fourth commandment, that you would show us from your word how it is that you would have us to act, how it is that you would have us to live, how it is that you would have us to remember the Sabbath day. We pray that you would, again, point us to Christ, point us to that great Sabbath rest that's found in him. We pray that we would leave from this place tonight with a deeper understanding, not just of your Sabbath day, but of our relationship with Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Imagine for just a moment that your spouse or somebody dear to you asks you, "Why do you love me?" I'm sure you have all sorts of answers that will come to your mind. Maybe it's because of their overwhelming intelligence. Maybe it's because of their great personality. When it comes to our wives, we tend to try to avoid those shallow-sounding answers, such as, "Well, because you're drop-dead gorgeous." So instead, we usually say things like, "because you're my best friend," or "because I love how great you are with our children," and so on. But imagine what would happen if you said to your spouse, or said to that close friend, or said to a relative, said, "I love you because I have to." Imagine how romantic that would be. I've seen a lot of creativity in Hallmark cards over the years, but I don't think I've ever seen one that reads, "On this our anniversary, I remember that I love you." Then you open the card up. "Because God says I have to." I don't know how that would really go over on Valentine's Day or your anniversary. Not all that romantic, obviously. We like to go with the warm and fuzzy. We like to go with the sentimental. And yet, when you boil it all down, isn't that the correct answer? I love and respect you because I have to. Whether you're married or not married, it's true of all our relationships with one another. The attitude that we're supposed to have, even with our neighbor. I love you because God says I have to. I love you. I forgive you because God says I have to. My relationship with you is based on how God says I'm supposed to treat you. And I know we want to give all sorts of other reasons, but what if those reasons change? What if our personality changes or appearances change or the person isn't a good parent? Or what if the person is hideously ugly? What if our neighbor is a complete pain? What if they act towards us in a way that we'd really just like them to move? Can we treat them however we want? Of course not. God still says, this is how you're supposed to treat someone. We have, over the last several years, we have looked at this question of the Sabbath day from multiple different angles as we have come across passages throughout Genesis and Exodus. We've been reminded that Israel needed to stop and remember that God is the one who delivered them out of Egypt, who gave them rest from their work as slaves. They needed to be reminded of God's greater salvation from sin. They needed to be reminded they were different from the nations around them. And yet, many times, the most obvious answer is hardly ever talked about. And it's the one that, in many ways, seems the most unspiritual. They had to follow the Sabbath day because God said so. All those other reasons may certainly have been true, and yet when it really boiled down to it, God says so. He says to Israel right here in Exodus chapter 20, as clear as could possibly be, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now we might question what exactly that all means, remembering the Sabbath day, keeping the day holy. The word holy in the Old Testament context often having to do with being set apart, being different, sanctified. Later laws will explain to Israel exactly what the details are of how you remember the Sabbath day and what he intended for them to do on that Sabbath day. But at no point could an Israelite ever excuse their breaking of the Sabbath day by saying, I'm not really sure I understand all the theology behind the Sabbath day. I'm not really sure I understand the significance of it. When it all ended and it all boiled down, no matter what they thought about the reasons why, what really mattered was that God had told them in the Ten Commandments, "You will honor my Sabbath day." Regardless of the reasons why, I said so. You will follow them. I think that's a truth that often gets lost for us today in the midst of our discussions over the Sabbath day. We spend a lot of time talking about why God has established the Sabbath day. We debate it, we discuss it, and many times we often forget the fact that He created the Sabbath day, that God said to keep this day. Understanding why we keep the Sabbath day is great. Tonight we're going to look at another reason in this passage as to why we keep the Sabbath day. The Apostle Paul even makes the argument in Colossians 2 about a group of people who kept the Sabbath day without remembering why. They completely forgot what the day meant. They were just going through the motions of the Lord's day, forgetting that it was a day to focus on Christ, which is what Hebrews says when it talks about how Sabbath is a reminder of that rest that is ours in Christ. So we have reasons why. We have theological emphasis when it comes to this day. We've discussed at least two of them, even in the last calendar year, as we've come across passages in Exodus. And yet none of these are the reasons of why we have this command here. None of them should distract us from the fact that for Israel, they had to keep the Sabbath day. It was one of the commandments, regardless of the theology behind it. In our day today, it's become very common to debate and discuss what extent we are under the Sabbath within the new covenant. Are we to follow this command? And those can be helpful, worthwhile discussions, and yet we need to remember that this isn't just a day that we're discussing. This isn't just a religious observance or a religious holiday. This is the very Word of God. These are the Ten Commandments. And the fact that God says here in the Decalogue to remember the Sabbath day should cause us to realize the seriousness of what it is that we're discussing. This is not any day like any other day. This is the Sabbath day. This is God's commandment, God's requirement, God's law. It should cause us then to approach this with a reverence, to consider it very carefully, reverently. So before we just simply skip over the fourth commandment and say it doesn't apply to us, or before we dismiss it or come up with our own loopholes around it, or whatever the attitude is that we approach the Sabbath day, we need to remember that our default position when it comes to the Lord's Day is that these are the words of God in the Ten Commandments. And God says, this is the behavior that I want from you. Remember the Sabbath day. And here within this particular passage here in the Ten Commandments, not only does it tell us a seriousness, but God begins to explain that that Sabbath day, while perhaps not mentioned or emphasized really all that much before the law and the era surrounding Moses, He reminds us that it wasn't founded upon Israel's tradition. It wasn't founded upon Israel's religious practices. It was really rooted in the very fabric of creation. It certainly calls into question the notion that the Sabbath day no longer applies under the new covenant because it wasn't necessarily tied to the old covenant. It was tied all the way back to the covenant of creation. Now, look at verses 9 through 10. We are told that the Sabbath day is specifically a day concerning work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Now, at first glance, nothing in these verses seems to speak about creation. But think about what we do on the Sabbath day. We have simply come to understand over the generations, over the years, that Sabbath has to do with resting from work. After all, Sabbath in Hebrew means to cease. Naturally, then, we should cease from work. Except, why have we assumed that God meant it was work that we were supposed to rest from, to cease from, to Sabbath from, other than the obvious that He says so here in these verses? The word Sabbath is actually used of ceasing many things in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 16, verse 10, it's a ceasing of shouting and rejoicing. In Exodus chapter 12, it is ceasing or Sabbathing the leaven during the festival of unleavened bread. In Amos chapter 8, it's the poor of the land who will cease. In Jeremiah 48, it is wine, the joy, the gladness that comes from wine that disappears from Israel. In fact, if you glance at the usages of the word cease, or the use of the word Sabbath throughout the Old Testament prophets, what's most commonly ceasing is joy, because they're going to be destroyed, they're going to be punished. So it's interesting that we have this Sabbath day, and yet it's not a day that we cease or rest from celebration. This is not a day of mourning. Within the context of Scripture, that seems to be what's most common, and yet we don't think of it in those terms. God instead specifies that, no, this isn't a day to cease from leaven. It's not a day to cease from joy. It's a day to cease specifically from work. 6 days you shall labor, and on the seventh day, cease, Sabbath, working. Stop, rest, take a break. Not a break from happiness, not a break from leavened bread, all of which would also be Sabbaths, but specifically rest from work. And why is it that work is what God focuses upon? Well, to answer that question, we need to consider why it was that Israel worked in the first place. And this is where creation starts to come into it. Because according to Genesis, Israel worked simply because that's what they were created to do. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 2, Adam, mankind, was placed in the garden to work the ground. Work became hard after the fall, but prior to the fall, work was what it meant to be human. It was one of the purposes of human beings. We were created for work. It's a fact which is just as true today as it was when Exodus chapter 20 was written. Which means that the Sabbath refers not to something cultural in Israel, but to something that was existing in the fabric of creation for all people. All people were created for work. If the Sabbath day was a day of resting from wine, for instance, to use the Isaiah passage, we might be tempted to think, well, I don't drink wine. It doesn't apply to me. If the Sabbath day was a day of resting from unleavened bread, we might think, well, I really like leaven in my bread. I prefer rolls over flatbread, so clearly this doesn't apply to me. If we were to think the Sabbath day was a day of resting or ceasing from joy, we might think, well, usually in the context, it was because they were rejoicing while they were sinning rather than mourning their sin. We mourn our sin, but now we're in Christ, so we're full of joy. So that doesn't apply to me anymore. I don't have to follow the Sabbath day because I don't do any of those things. There's nothing for me to rest from. And so if God had simply said, keep the Sabbath day holy, we would think that has to do with ceasing. I don't do any of those things. It doesn't apply to me. But instead, God ties the Sabbath day specifically to the issue of work. He ties it all the way back to the purposes for which human beings were created back in the garden. He ties it to that universal human experience, the universal human task, one which all of us, from young to old, all engage in. We all work. This isn't even cultural to Israel. It has to do with the fabric of creation, the role of mankind instituted in Adam. From creation, we are all workers. And now, according to God, we weren't just created for work, we were also created to rest. It's easy to lose sight of that fact when we say, keep the Sabbath day holy. It means to not work. 6 days were made to work, but not the seventh. But then if you look at verse 11, it says, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. He rested. That's the emphasis there in the commandment. God Sabbath. He rested. We often think of the Lord's Day as a day in terms of things that we cannot do. You can't do this, you can't do that. It's such an oppressive day. You can't do anything. You just got to sit around and do nothing. But God says, no, there's a point to all this. Here's a day that you get to rest. Here's a day that you get to take a break. This is a day when you get to stop working and simply relax. But think about that for just a second. That makes sense for us. But why did God rest on the seventh day? That's what it says there in verse 11. God rested on the seventh day. Was God tired? Did he overexert himself in all of creation? Did he wear himself out after 6 days? Well, of course not. Of course not. Not to mention that if God had ceased, had Sabbathed his overall care of creation, the world would cease to exist. So it's not as if God stopped doing everything. He just simply stopped creating. He still cares. He's still providentially in control. He's still working in that sense. But is it not odd, then, that this would be called resting? Usually when we rest, we're taking a break, as though we're going to start doing something again. It almost seems as if God was going to either spend the rest of eternity resting, because then he was going to start creating again, as though he was just taking a breather or just taking a break. It's not like he's going to start again on day 8, and then he worked for 6 days, took a rest on day 7, and he just needed a breather, and now on day 8 he's going to begin again. That doesn't make any sense either. So if God didn't need a break, if he wasn't going to start up again, if he didn't need to rest, if he wasn't tired, all of this just seems very odd then to emphasize the fact that God rested. The one being who doesn't need it, the one being who isn't going to simply take a break and start again, why would it emphasize that God rested? But consider that this is the fact which is used as the foundation for the call of human beings to rest. We need to rest because God rested. On the one hand, this time of resting, it reminds us that God is our creator. It's tied to creation in that sense. He created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. We need to stop and remember that. And yet the emphasis here is not on the 6 days of creation. It's on the one day that no creation took place. It's on the seventh day. It's on the day that God did nothing. The emphasis is on this last day. We rest on the seventh day because God rested on the seventh day. And the more that I've thought about it, the conclusion that I've come to is what is remarkable is that we do not rest because God needed to rest. Instead, God rested on the seventh day because we need to rest. God rested as an example for us. God created this day for us. Even as Jesus said, the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. We need to rest. We were created for rest. And so God rested not because he was tired, not because he was worn out, not because he had more work to do, but because we get worn out. We need to rest. God in his grace rested and blessed the Sabbath day, setting it apart, making it holy, because you and I, human beings made in the image of God, made to work like God, and not even just human beings, because according to verse 10, even livestock, cattle are mentioned there. We need to rest. We need it. This day is a gift. It's not a burden. The day is for us. God created this day. He rested himself in order to bless this day and set it apart, working this Sabbath day into the very fabric of creation for us, for workers, for those who work, but who need occasionally to take a rest from that work. Of course, in our culture, this whole idea has gotten lost. Not so much the idea that we need a day of rest. We all know the value of vacation. We all know the value of taking a break. Just ask any major restaurant owner. You ever notice that all the fancy restaurants in Roanoke are closed on Mondays? I had a friend who wanted to open a frozen custard stand. In Wisconsin, we don't do ice cream. We do frozen custard. My friend asked the owner of one of the fanciest restaurants in all of Milwaukee what he thought about my friend closing his custard shop down on Sunday. And the restaurant owner said, well, I don't know about Sunday, but you're foolish if you stay open 7 days a week. Restaurants, he said, only ever get 6 days of customers, no matter how you schedule it. You can either get 6 days of customers over 6 days, or you can get 6 days of customers over 7 days. But no matter how you do it, you will only ever get 6 days of customers. Just look at Chick-fil-A, who has no problem competing, and not just competing, but beating all the other restaurants that stay open 7 days a week. It's just an economic principle that there's only 6 days of customers, so why be open for seven? Most of them then, at least in Roanoke, close on Mondays. We understand this. We understand that people need a break. People need to rest. We understand that. But that really only makes an argument for resting on a day. We have the five-day work week. We already have Saturday. We already understand the idea of working and taking a break. So do we really need Sunday off also? Do we really need a second day of rest? And I think this is the part where rest has become lost in our culture, and that is because we no longer all work as farmers. keep in mind for a moment that in Israel, everybody farmed. Everybody worked crops. Everybody was very much a subsistence farmer or was somehow related to the shepherding industry there in Israel. There was no such thing as a day off if you were a farmer. You couldn't just simply say, well, it's Saturday, so I think I'll just take the day off. You couldn't do that. You had farm work that you had to do, which is why the Sabbath rest for Israel was so important, because that was the only day that they got to rest all week. They were working 6 days a week, not just five. Today we get the day off on Saturday, which I think is part of what leads us into these somewhat ridiculous discussions that we often have on a theological level about Sabbath day observance. Can I do this activity on a Sabbath day? What about this activity? You know, I have never heard, in all the years that I've heard this discussion, I have never heard someone who does manual labor for a living for 6 days a week debate over whether or not he or she is allowed to do manual labor on Sunday. I've never come across that. Whenever I've met somebody who works manual labor or does something exhausting for 6 days, they are perfectly happy to take Sunday off. There's never any debate about whether or not they're allowed to work on that day. They want the day off. Take my career, for instance. There's not a whole lot of manual labor in my world during the week. But on Saturday, that's a different story, because Saturday is my manual labor day. It's the day that I do my heavy lifting, I do mulching, I work in the garden. It's the day that I'm often doing things that are physical. From Monday to evening, or from morning to evening, the typical Saturday for me is filled with physical work. And by Saturday night, I'm feeling that this is not what I typically do during the week. By Saturday night, I'm pretty sore. And I'm not at all interested in debating what I can and cannot do on a Sunday after church, because usually by Sunday after church, I'm so sore from Saturday that the only thing I want to do on Sunday is sit. I don't want to do anything else. I don't want to do anything, and I don't really want to feel lazy or guilty about it either. I just want to do nothing. I just want to rest. And that's just physical labor. What about the emotional stress on first responders, those in the medical field, the stress upon those in the transportation industry, or those like teachers who have to put up with students all week? The last thing they want to do on Sunday is work some more. They're not really interested in that. They need rest. We need a break. It makes sense when we stop and think about a six-day work week of manual labor. Sunday was the day of rest. Do you think God knew what he was doing when he said, on the seventh day you will rest? Yes. The God who created work and said, you will work and work the ground and you will work the fields and you will work and keep the earth, is the same God who said, except for one day a week, then you will rest, because you need to rest. You can't keep going manual labor every day. It can't be done. You will be physically exhausted. You will work yourself to death, literally. And so God himself takes a break to show us how much we need to take a break. It's funny, in today's culture, I often hear excuses from farmers. We don't have a lot of farmers in our area. When we lived in Milwaukee, we were surrounded by dairy farms, and I would often hear farmers talk about how they can't take a day off because they have cows to milk and so on. It's interesting. It's not really a new issue. We tend to think that it's a new issue, but it's not. Even modern rabbis agree that this commandment tells farmers that they can't milk their cows on Sunday. No plowing the fields. It says specifically in verse 10 that the animals themselves need to rest. No long rides on your horse. Your horse needs to rest. No picking of crops. No milking the cows. From some of the research I did, I realized that Jews today cheat because they use special automated milking machines to milk their cows, so they don't actually have to do anything. And the rabbis have given them permission, as long as it's automated and you don't have to do anything, yes, the cows can be milked on Sunday, or on Saturday, their Sabbath, but you just can't drink the milk on Saturday. It has to wait until the next day to be drunk. Or you can cheat and just get a non-Jew to do the work. Some of the websites suggested that as well, although apparently the rabbis frown on that. It's not appropriate for them as well. But for centuries, Jews did not milk their cows on Sundays, or Saturdays, their Sabbath. They didn't. They gave them a breast, and the cows survived. A lot of the websites that I came across said, yes, a cow can survive. May not be the most comfortable of things, but a cow can survive and get used to the fact that it's not milked on the Sabbath day. We like to think of these as new problems. Oh no, how am I going to milk my cow if I can't work? But for millennia, cows were able to go 24 hours without being milked. We try within our culture, and we still do the same thing today, we try to come up with all these reasons why we can't rest, or why we don't have to rest. And yet we need to realize we were created for work, but we were also created to rest. God set aside a day for us. Remember this day. Keep it holy. Keep it set apart. No work on this day. Remember, God set an example for you Himself, that the God of creation rested. The God of the universe, who never grows tired, never grows weary, never gets weak, never needs a break, took a break. Why? To remind you, created in His image as a worker, also need to rest. It's part of how you were made. And doesn't it make sense that when you want to maintain the best way to use a particular item, you would ask the creator of that item? How do you best maintain your car? Well, ask the auto manufacturer. How do you best maintain your countertop? Ask the manufacturer. How do you best maintain your sporting equipment? Ask the manufacturer. How do you best maintain a human being? Ask the manufacturer. Ask the creator. And he says, every 6 days, on the seventh day, you need to rest. Because that's what I made you for. I made you for work, yes. But I also made you to rest. So rest. And to go all the way back to the beginning of where we started, God says, you need to rest. Because I said so. Because I've commanded you to rest. It seems somewhat ironic when you really think about it, that here we are as human beings, workers, who want rest, and yet God knows us well enough to know, if I don't tell you, you won't do it. You'll be exhausted. You'll work yourselves into the ground. If I don't tell you you need to take a break, you won't. You'll just keep going. You'll forget all about me because you'll be too busy. You'll forget all about taking a break. You'll be physically exhausted. You'll be spiritually exhausted. God says, I'm going to tell you. Mercifully, graciously, I'm going to tell you, rest. Because I said so. Because this is what I made you for. I made you for work, but you need rest. I, for one, am very happy that God created a Sabbath day, a day of rest. He made this day. Let's use it. Let's rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you that you have given us this gift, this Sabbath day of rest. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would forgive us for oftentimes being very absorbed with the things that we're doing, rather than stopping and taking a break and reflecting upon you and other things. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would call us to rest. Show us the rest that is in you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.